complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, that the truth of his sacred and holy word may be granted to the blessing of our souls. I'll ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter we read in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, and the last clause of verse 16. Daniel chapter 6, the last clause of verse 16. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. The whole verse reads, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Dear friends, there's much teaching, isn't there, in the sacred accounts of the Old Testament. And you children, I'm sure you know this account very well indeed, of Daniel being thrown into the den of lions, the den being a big pit in the ground in which people who were to be, had been judged as very evil, worthy of death, were thrown. But when we read these accounts, now we must seek to learn of the being of God and his power, of his mercy, of his grace, of his judgments, and to know and fear before him that he is the God Almighty. Oh, to know that such a word as this, even though it was spoken by an ungodly king, Darius, he spoke such a truth, didn't he? To Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Who was this Daniel? You know, we learn much from the scripture, but we're not told everything. Daniel was born in a time of great sinfulness in the land of Judah. God's wrath was being poured out upon them. Although they'd had a good king, Josiah had acted foolishly. He went to fight against the king of Egypt, who was passing through Judah on his way to fight another king. And the king of Egypt slew Josiah. He was warned not to go out, but he did. And the king of Egypt, when he returned back to Egypt, brought Judah under his control, and he appointed a king, Jehoiakim, to be the king of Judah. But Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Chaldeans of Babylon, he overcame in due time the king of Egypt, and Judah became subject to King Nebuchadnezzar. Judah was subject to these foreign kings, and Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem. And in besieging Jerusalem, he took from Jerusalem a lot of people whom he thought would be useful in his kingdom of Babylon. Even children who were healthy, children who were intelligent, children whom he would teach the ways of the Chaldeans of Babylon and be useful in his own kingdom. And Daniel was one of these children. There were many children, we read, many children who went into Babylon. And there, these children were given keepers. And these keepers were to feed them with the food which the king gave, and so that they would grow healthy and strong, and they were to be taught the ways of those who lived in Babylon, and the wisdom and the path of life, and the way of life which they lived. Now Daniel and his three friends, who we read of, yes, their names were changed from their Hebrew names to Belteshazzar, which Daniel was, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they feared God. Even though they'd been taken away from their homes, from their mothers, their fathers, into a strange land, they knew the Holy Scriptures. They knew the law given unto Moses. They knew the commandments. And they knew that they should obey them. So even though they weren't in their homeland, they were taken to a far away where they were on their own and subject to those who did not believe in God. They feared God that they should keep his commandments. Oh, that's one of the first lessons we find, isn't it, with Daniel? A keeper of the commandments of God. And you children, as you grow, and all of us who are getting older and perhaps many years behind us, it should be ever something we should ever endeavour to do. Keep the commandments of God, the revealed will of God. It won't do us any harm, even though our thoughts may think, oh, it's better to not obey the commandments and be subject to the evil things of the ungodly world around us. No. We read in Daniel that when they were given food and drink for their well-being, it was unclean. It wasn't in accordance with the law. The wine and the meat they were having. And so they, not in rebellion, but they sought of their keeper to give them water and pulse, that which was acceptable under the command of God. And their keeper feared. He said, oh no, you'll become weaker and I shall be judged and brought into trouble by the king. But they persuaded him to do it for 10 days. And after 10 days, in obedience to God's word, God gave Daniel and his friends better health and strength than all the other children. It's good to walk in the fear of God, obeying his commands. The Lord will supply our needs, even above all other things, which we think may be better for us. And when they came to be examined by the king, how much they'd learned, how clever they were, Daniel and his friends were far better than all the others. Oh, the seeking to obey the Lord. The Lord gave them more than they'd asked for. Not only did he give them health and strength, he gave them intelligence. And in this intelligence, oh, how Daniel used it wisely. In the fear of the Lord, trusting in the Lord. For Nebuchadnezzar had that dream, didn't he? And a dream which no one could tell him what it was, he'd forgotten it, let alone the interpretation of it. And Nebuchadnezzar said he would kill all his wise men. And that would have included Daniel and his friends. But Daniel was a praying young boy, in the fear of God, obeying his commands. He was a praying boy. Oh, that's important, isn't it? To be one who prays. He was in danger. Danger of being threatened, for nothing could be done of his own self. But because of the king's wrath. And he persuaded one to take him to the king and says, give us time. And here was faith. The faith of Daniel. I will tell thee the interpretation of the dream. Prayer of faith. Obedience to the commands of God. What an example Daniel is for us in our lives. He was in great danger. Nothing that anyone else could do. They didn't have the wisdom to tell Nebuchadnezzar what he had dreamed. That's an impossibility, isn't it? But not with God. All things are possible with God. And Daniel committed it unto the Lord. He and his friends, they prayed. And God heard and answered their prayers. And oh, how he interpreted by the Spirit of God to Daniel what Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed and what the meaning of it was. That's important, isn't it? To receive the guidance and influence of the Spirit of God. It's through that we fear God. We have faith in God. We pray unto God. And we receive the blessings of God. You know, Daniel is a great example of what Jesus said when the people tempted Jesus and said to him, should we pay tribute to Caesar or not? Jesus asked for that penny, didn't he? The tribute money. He said, whose superscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. And Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And render to God the things that are God's. Oh, now that needs much wisdom and much grace. That as we live in an ungodly world, we are able to, if I can use that word, bring the two together. That we obey those who have the rule over us in this world, as Daniel did. But also, above that, when things get into states where God is to be dishonoured, we put the things of God first. Render to God the things that are God's. What an example we find here with Daniel. Yes, we read of his three friends, don't we? Standing firm and fast. Oh, when Nebuchadnezzar built that great idol, and if anybody didn't fall down to worship it when the music played, they would be killed, cast into that fiery furnace. They stood steadfast. They would not fall and worship something else. Oh, how steadfast they were in the fear of God, declaring that God would deliver them if it was his will. They didn't say it was his will. They said, if the Lord will spare us. He will spare us. And they will not obey the king and dishonour God. Well, those are difficult times, aren't they? And the Lord honoured them for it. It was now again an impossibility. Who could withstand that great furnace heated seven times to what it normally was? But the Lord was there with them. I am the Lord, I will not forsake thee. And the power of that flame and the fire didn't hurt those three friends, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, at all. The fourth was like unto the Son of God who was with them. Oh, what effect these things had upon Nebuchadnezzar, a witness of the power of God. And so it is, you know, as we seek to live to the honour and glory of God. Put him first. To fear God rather than the fear of man. Yes, we can be killed by man, people around us, by mankind. But they can do nothing for our soul, against our soul, the destruction of our soul. We fear God who can destroy body and soul in hell. For as long as we can have this as our thoughts and our minds, our principle, if we can put it that way, then the Lord will honour those who honour him. That's a lovely promise. So may we prove that for ourselves, and through that witness, others acknowledge God, as Nebuchadnezzar did. Well, we may go on with these examples, mightn't we? But throughout the life of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was of a high office. In fact, Ezekiel refers to him, who was a prophet in Babylon at this time. He refers to him on one occasion. And when other kings came after Nebuchadnezzar, it seems as if Daniel was almost forgotten. Yes, the Lord didn't forget Daniel, though. Daniel became a prophet of that which was to come to pass. We read of Daniel's visions, don't we? His own visions, his own dreams in this prophecy of that which was to come to pass. Even when the Babylonians were there, he had the dream of the four kingdoms. Babylon, then the Medes and Persians, then Greece and then Rome. The Lord revealed to Daniel great things, even down to the last days that we are in today. Daniel was a child of God, and he was a witness that he was a child of God. And when Babylon was overthrown by the Medes and the Persians, Daniel was found, to be above all others in wisdom. We read, didn't we, at the beginning of this psalm, the beginning of this chapter. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm, an excellent spirit. Now that was the spirit of God. All things, dear friends, were under the hand of God. Daniel was under the hand and the mind and the will and the purpose and the spirit of God. Daniel was only as great as the Lord made him. And because Daniel was of that, of great respect by King Darius, and the others knew he was different to them, they hated him. You know, we might have that experience. When we fear God and seek to do all to his honour and glory in accordance with his commandments, and we obey God rather than those round about us at difficult times, we well can be hated. We read of many in the New Testament hated for Christ's sake. And we find many today in this world are hated for Christ's sake. We can't say everything will go smooth and well. No, the teaching here in Daniel is that although Daniel was a child of God, who feared God, had faith in God, prayed to God, the Lord honoured Daniel. He was wrought upon by the Spirit of God. That didn't deliver him from the power of evil that would rise against him. It didn't deliver him from dangers, even dangers that would take his life. But everything was in the hand of God, his God. All these other presidents and princes, they made this persuaded Darius to sign a decree that if anybody prayed, asking a petition of any other god, there's many gods in those days. If anyone in the kingdom should ask a petition of any god, or of any man, except of the king, they would be put into the den of lions. Now this made Darius as if he was God, didn't it? As if he was a god. People must ask of him alone all their petitions and all their decrees. And poor Darius at that time was deceived. Oh, his pride within him must have lifted him up, oh, to be exalted by his presidents and his princes that he was as a god before them and before the people. And so he signed the decree. And in those days, the Medes and the Persians, whatever the king decreed, it could not be changed. It would stay until the death of the king. But throughout his reign, it could not be changed. So what did Daniel do? Well, we read, didn't we? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel was far off in Babylon, but he knew that what Solomon had prayed when he built the temple, that if anyone prayed towards that house, wherever they were, then the Lord would hear in heaven his dwelling place. And when he heard, he would forgive. You know, Daniel was a praying man and a confessing man. He knew he was a sinful man. He knew his people were sinful people. Oh, when he comes to the end of Belshazzar, when the writing was on the wall, and Daniel was given wisdom to interpret that writing, it was then he was given wisdom to understand what Jeremiah had prophesied concerning the 70 years of captivity. Daniel was now an old man. His childhood years when he brought to Babylon, and now 70 years had gone by. And when he understood, the overturn of Babylon, it brought him to acknowledge, in a greater sense, the word of God. And he confessed his sins. You read chapter 9. Daniel's prayer of confession. It's a sweet prayer. Oh, he humbled himself, he fell before the Lord his God. He was one who feared God, and prayed that his pardon would be revealed unto his people. With us, he says, belong confusion of face, but with thee belongeth mercies. And that's what Daniel depended upon all his days, the mercy of God. Oh, what an example he was for us, isn't he? Daniel was a praying man, and he prayed again now, as he had aforetime, as he always had done. When at the very beginning as a child, and when he was before Nebuchadnezzar, he prayed. Daniel was a praying man. But how did he pray? He kneeled upon his knees in humbleness before Almighty God, and he gave thanks before his God. Oh, what a way to pray when his life was being threatened, and he knew he would be put in the lion's den, because he would not refuse to pray unto his God. He would not pray unto Darius. He gave thanks. What a lesson there is there, isn't there? I'm sure he didn't give thanks for the trouble, but he gave thanks to God in the trouble, in the threat. What was his thanksgiving? That his God was almighty and able to deliver him from it. His God, if it was his will, would deliver him from the decree of the king. And even though he may be thrown into the den of lions, the power of God was greater than the power of the lions. If it was the Lord's will, he would be come again, he would be delivered. He gave thanks to God that his God was almighty, and nothing could harm him beyond that which was the will of his God. Or he could look back, couldn't he, and see how the Lord had delivered him through his 70 years in Babylon. A faithful God. Oh, now, dear friends, there's some. There's much teaching there, isn't there? You know, when we come into great troubles and difficulties, you children at school, you'll have troubles and difficulties, perhaps with others at school at times. And given to ourselves, we retaliate, don't we? We want to give them as good as they give us. We don't read here of Daniel retaliating. We don't read of him making any protest even. Oh, there's many who protest today when things rise up against them, even from the government. Daniel committed it unto the Lord his God with thanksgiving. That's like Paul, wasn't it, when he wrote to the Philippians. Be careful, be full of care for nothing. Oh, I'm sure Daniel was concerned about what would take place. But in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, ruled his heart. And as we know in Gospel days, rule your heart through Christ Jesus. Oh, we have one, haven't we, who has pardoned our sins. Jesus Christ. And we pray through him. Oh, not only for providential blessings and mercies, but the spiritual blessing of our souls. We'll come to that in a moment. Daniel knew where his peace lay in the midst of trouble. And that was committing it unto the Lord his God. You know, we read of other people in trouble. We read of Jacob in trouble when he returned from Padan Aram, and Esau was coming out to kill him, threatened him. Jacob said, oh, I fear my brother. He prayed to the Lord in fear. We don't read that he prayed with thanksgiving. Although the prayer of Jacob was heard, yes, in his great fear. Oh, Daniel, what faith Daniel had. In the facing of death and threat, he gave thanks unto God. Believing, knowing he would deliver. And so they accused Daniel, they watched him, they saw these princes, they reported him back to the king, and oh, the king knew he'd been deceived. We read, didn't we, that he was sore displeased with himself. Oh, he could trust in Daniel more than he could all the others in the help of the ruling of the kingdom. But now he must put him in the lion's den. And these words of our text, it came from Darius. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Dear friends, he spoke the truth. I don't think Darius fully believed by faith as Daniel did, no. It was his hope that it would be so. Oh, what a witness Daniel was to Darius. Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now, dear friends, notice this. Thy God whom thou servest continually. Not just sometime, not just now and then, not just when we feel like it. Continually. Oh, how are we today? Daniel's God is our God. Do we serve him continually? Or just when we think it's in accordance with our own hearts and minds to do so? And at other times, we'll go our own way. We'll rule ourselves in accordance with our own thoughts. We'll fall before our own fears. We will not obey his voice. We will not all his will esteem. We're very weak, aren't we? We're weak in faith. We're weak in our trust. We lean to our own understanding. We submit to the fears, natural fears around us. But Daniel served the Lord continually. He committed his way unto the Lord. He trusted in him and trusted in the Lord to bring to pass what concerned the will of God for him. Oh, dear friends, this is to be our instruction, isn't it? Continually. Nothing wavering. Oh, our faith to be steadfast. Well, Darius spent that night in great fear. He was no doubt tried by his own thoughts and feeling and his mind, surely. Oh, those lions would slay Daniel. They had everybody else until that time. And it was sure and certain death. Oh, would in Daniel's God that he had, would he come to pass? He went in the morning, and he cried with a lamentable voice. Was it possible that it had happened? Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. Is it possible? He heard the voice of Daniel. Yes. God hath sent his angel and shut those lions' mouths. God is almighty. Nothing is too hard for him. He will deliver. Oh, dear friends, it's the same God today as it was in Daniel's day. To those who continually serve him, those who trust in him by faith at all times, those who commit their way unto the Lord alone, those who fear going their own ways. He says, doesn't he? God says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Oh, Daniel glorified God. Darius glorified God, didn't he? Oh, what a decree made then to all his kingdom. That all his kingdom would fear before the God of Daniel. He is the living God, steadfast forever. His kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. What a testimony. But dear friends, let us not leave it without considering the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. You know, Daniel in one sense is a type of that, isn't he? Of the Christ, the Son of God who came into this world. He was holy, he was pure. Yes, he was sinless, but he was hated. He was hated by those Jews because his doctrine was not the same as theirs. And they sought to put him to death. And they did put him to death. They crucified him on Calvary's cross. And he was put in the grave. As we might say, dead. He gave up the ghost. But he rose again. Triumphant from the grave. Death could not have the power over him. Death could not rule within him. He was the righteous Son of God. And he rose again. Oh, that for all those for whom he died on Calvary's cross, he bore that punishment of death, that he might give to them the gift of eternal life. You know, when we consider Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, dear friends, what are our thoughts there? What is our faith? Have we faith in Christ? You know, we shall be laid in the pit, in the grave. We shall die We shall take our last breath at one time, and we shall be laid, as it were, in the earth. But oh, those that believe in Jesus, those who love him, those to whom Christ is precious, those who know the power of his shed blood to save them from their sins, those who've called upon him in the day of their trouble, the trouble of their sinfulness, or their departings from the holy word, the breaking of his commandments, and only worthy of eternal death. Oh, what a solemn death these who put Daniel in the pit. What solemn death they ended up with. They weren't saved, were they? But those who believe in Jesus, trusting in him, that blood cleansed from all sin, those who've confessed their sins, those who have fallen before him, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, they are delivered. They are delivered from the judgment of death and destruction and despair in hell forevermore. Oh, they are brought forth in that last day of judgment. They are delivered to be with Christ, which is far better. O thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Christ will deliver us, the only deliverer we've got from our just desert of eternal damnation. O dear friends, may the Lord, in providence and in grace, lead us into his word. And may his word, enter into us, that we see our dependence upon the Lord for all things, practical and spiritual, that as we seek to serve him and to live to the honour and glory of his name, calling upon him in the times of our trouble, spiritual and providential, he will deliver us. Oh, what do we read? That lovely Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Then serve the Lord with gladness. Obey his voice. Oh, that last verse of that hymn 667. It's a praise to God of William Gadsby's, isn't it? Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. His majesty adore, live near his heart, obey his voice and all his will esteem. Well, dear friends, may that be our endeavour. Calling upon the Lord, seeking to serve him, and to know Daniel's example and Daniel's deliverance. Daniel was delivered from death. Oh, for us to be delivered from eternal death through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.